Good morning. Our reading today is from Luke, and it's chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, and it can be found on page 1052 of the Church Bibles. The parable of the persistent widow. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that now you will use it to guide our thoughts, our minds, our hearts, and our actions, that all these things may be truly subservient to you, that we may glorify you in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You should, I hope, have the sermon outline with your paperwork. I hope you'll find it useful, as I won't have one on the screen at the moment, but you may find that that will help you see where we're going in this sermon. Just a reminder, we are now in the middle of what you might call the final section of Jesus' teaching while he's on the road to Jerusalem and the cross. Once he gets past this section, the next couple of weeks, we'll be at Jerusalem. And what happens there? Now, overall, we've been taking a much, what I would call, longer Advent theme. We started well before Advent. We're now in the second Sunday of Advent, but we started much sooner than that. What is it like to live now in the light of Jesus' return? The big Advent theme, which we've looked at for the latter part of autumn. What is it like to live now in the light of Jesus' return as our eternal King? And in this final section, the starting point was back in chapter 17 and verse 20, when Jesus was asked, "When will the kingdom of God come?" It was a hot topic in those days. Perhaps it should be a hot topic now, but it was certainly a hot topic then. And with Jesus, there were many around him who thought that God's kingdom would come in visible power when Jesus reached Jerusalem and by his power would overthrow the Romans and set up a new Israel, a new kingdom. But last week, we saw that Jesus' return, bringing the kingdom in its completion, would not come according to some human agenda or calculation. It would be sudden. It would be blatantly obvious to all. But it would be at a time of the Father's choosing, and it would be after much suffering for the King and his people. So you might ask the question, quite reasonably, in the light of this theme about Jesus' return, where does the issue of persistence in prayer come in, which is our topic this morning? That's what Jesus was talking about in verse 1 of chapter 18 of Luke's Gospel, if you'd like to follow me in the Church Bibles. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Why is that a theme for Jesus' return? Now, praying and not giving up in prayer is always a good thing. particularly when we seek to pray in line with God's will. That's good. Now, I know sometimes it's not always clear what God's will is in a particular situation. So how do I pray in accordance with his will? And then very often an immediate answer seems not to be forthcoming. But here, Jesus is referring to something that is always in line with God's will. Always we should pray and not give up. And that is the matter of God's justice. I hope you've noticed, the justice is at the heart of the parable itself. Give me justice against my adversary, is the widow's plea. And it's also central to Jesus' explanation of the parable that comes in the verses that follow. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? Justice is at the heart of what Jesus is saying. And as Jesus makes clear, the parable is not about how to be persistent, but why we should be persistent in prayer, especially prayer for a just God to act. And what we do find, the reasons Jesus gives for our persistence in prayer about justice, is that God willingly hears his children's prayers, that God is just and passionate about justice, and that to pray in this way is an expression of trust in a just God. And these are highlighted by Jesus because they're the complete opposite to what is happening in the parable. You look at the parable, and the answer comes back, God is so much more. It's almost a complete contradiction to the characters in the parable. So why be persistent in prayer as we look at verses, particularly verses 7 and 8? And the first reason Jesus gives is that God willingly hears his children's prayers. Jesus is not saying that persistence in prayer is a case of what? Badgering God until he gets fed up with the noise and gives us what we ask for to shut us up. That's how the widow in the parable had to deal with the judge. True. And it may be that's how some parents react to their children at times. Oh yes, all right, shut up. You can have it. But in our relationship with God, that is a pagan idea. Remember what Jesus said about that back in Matthew's gospel. They think they will be heard because of their many words. That is not how God works. The point that Jesus is making is that God is not like the unjust judge. He's totally different. It's not a case of crying to him day and night, as Jesus says we should, because until our prayers are eventually answered. In Jesus' parable, the unjust judge initially refused to hear the woman, and he gave her justice when he was worn down. But God wants to give us justice. He wants to hear our prayers. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? The answer is no, he won't. When my children were a great deal younger than they are now, my sons were very fond of teasing their little sister. And anyone who's a little sister probably can empathize with that. I knew it was happening, though, when her voice came at top volume, Daddy! Just one word, Daddy. It was time for me to step in and restore order and restore some justice in the family life and to do it straight away. Stop it, boys, became the familiar response. I didn't have to wait until she was hoarse with shouting. One daddy, and she got a response. And now, do you think any of us is more concerned about our children than God is concerned about us? If we are prepared to do that for our children, how much more is God willing to listen to us? God delights to hear his children's prayers, especially when they pray for the coming of his just kingdom. And we need to be in constant contact with God in prayer. Now, we may not always get the answer we'd hope for we often get it wrong and we ask for something, even in the way of justice, which isn't what God wants, but he still answers. It may be a no, it may be a wait, or it may be a yes. But God's children can cry to him, not because he doesn't listen, but because he does. That is the people we are, that we have a Father who wants to listen, who wants to hear our prayers. God willingly hears his children's prayers. But we should pray persistently also because God is just and is passionate about justice. We can have confidence that God will give a good answer to our prayers for divine justice because he is just and he is passionate about justice. Now, the widow in the parable got her justice even though the judge himself was unjust and cared nothing for God or people. There was something which was arbitrary about his behavior. You couldn't be sure what it was going to be like. But that is not like God. There is nothing arbitrary about God's response to us. I tell you, it says in verse 8, he will see they get justice and quickly. You see, God's justice is not a matter of, well, policy that he happens to have adopted for the moment and which could be changed according to circumstances. He's not just one day and unjust another day. Justice is an integral part of his character, what he is like. It's often been said that God's love is like the wording in a stick of rock. You know, wherever you break in, you will find it. Well, it is equally true of his justice. It goes all the way through what he is. Now, I know in our lives, there is always something of a contradiction between love and justice. Either an action is loving or it's just, but it doesn't seem to be both in the way we act. But that is not the case with God. God's love and justice meet in his Son as he obediently travels to Jerusalem and to the cross. In case, as I have to admit, some people have suggested in some more recent books, that the Father's justice is offset by the Son's love. This is the persons of the Trinity united in love and justice to deal with the mess of our lives. There is no contradiction in God. This is how God works. He brings together his love and his justice. But of course, there are consequences. And either the just consequences of our sin, including every unjust thought and action, has fallen on the Son who takes the penalty for us as we trust him and yield ourselves to his lordship, or it will fall on us. And they are the only two alternatives. Because God is just and is passionate about justice and wants his children to recognize that kind of God. But that is why, thirdly, we can express our trust in a just God. Jesus ends his encouragement to persistent prayer with a kind of, well, I can only describe it as a rather enigmatic statement at the end of chapter, verse 8. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? See, often our problem is not that Christians should cry to God, but when they do cry to God, he appears to do nothing until they think it's no use appealing to him. Why should I? Is the response so often. They believe that either he doesn't hear them or he doesn't care. But right at the beginning of the passage, we had that verse, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show that they should always pray and not give up. Christ insists it is imperative that God's chosen, that's those who are his, should always pray and not give up. If we cease to pray, especially if we cease to pray for divine justice, we actually call into question God's character. The judge in the parable was wicked and unprincipled, but eventually he gave in to persistent pleading. If we give up, we make God out to be more unfeeling, more unjust than this judge. And that's a terrible thought. We imply that God is so indifferent to justice that there is no reasonable hope for a coming reign of justice when Jesus returns, or even if he returns. However, Christ has staked his truthfulness in what he says on God's just character, that God will intervene, the Son of Man will come, and where it's not already happened, justice will still be done. So will he find us still believing in his justice? If we stop praying, how will we explain why we doubted his character when we face him? If we persist, we will be able to rejoice in our God who answers prayer. Jesus' return for those who love him is good news. Then there will be perfect justice. All wrongs will be righted. God's people have suffered injustices and persecutions down the ages and still do so around the world. And we are called upon to endure big or small injustices in our life. The only thing of the warnings that Jesus made is that near the end, it will become very severe. Yet whatever happens, we are to keep focused on the hope that is yet to come, that his kingdom will come with his return. We wait for Jesus' return with real expectation. Meanwhile, we're not idle. We are saved and called to be zealous to serve God with good works. So I want to say as a final point about these, don't lose heart because the world does not honor God and is unfair to Christians who do honor him. And don't get frustrated because so many who are unfaithful to God look as if they have everything this world has to offer. Such a life is the full payment they get if they pursue only what this life has. For then will come a time when their cupboard is bare. But we can pray to God that we might draw on his faithfulness for daily strength, which will never be exhausted. We do not cry for vengeance. We can leave that in God's hands. For he says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. We can leave that alone. But it is right to pray for God to intervene and stop the evils perpetrated by unprincipled individuals and governments. Just think, if we go into the Acts of the Apostles, when they and the early church were faced with persecution, they didn't necessarily pray that the persecution would stop. They prayed that God's purposes would be vindicated in their lives by him enabling them to be obedient to his will despite what they faced. They prayed for the strength to speak and live for him no matter what. That should be our prayer, that God will vindicate the truth of his word in our lives as we face whatever the world has to give us, good or bad, and a lot of it's bad, so that people will see that he makes a difference and that he is truly a just as well as a loving God. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you that you are a God of justice, that you have granted us your mercy, not by denying yourself, but by taking upon yourself in your Son the penalty for our sin. And we thank you, Father, that you call us then by that great act into your family to live in a way that declares your love and justice as we wait for Jesus' return. Amen.
Amen.